Kenosha, Wisconsin, Stacy St. Clair is writing for the Chicago Tribune about what's been going on at the Kyle Rittenhouse trial. What's happening right now? I see that they're already underway, right, Stacy?
Yeah, there's a defense expert on the stand. He's going to talk about how quickly the shots occurred when Kyle Rittenhouse shot Joseph Rosenbaum. And I think his measurement is that all four shots went off in 0.76 seconds.
I'm not exactly sure what the point of that is. Do you?
I think the point is, and Jason Van Dyke made this same argument in the Laquan McDonald case, it didn't go over with the jury, is that everything happens so quickly that once you pull the trigger, the subsequent shots are almost unstoppable, is the argument. I don't think that is, you know, juries have not believed that in the past, but that's the argument they try to make.
The point being then that he wasn't deliberately trying to overshoot, but rather it's just this spontaneous bam, 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 bam thing like that.
Right, because the fatal shot to Joseph Rosenbaum was to his back. That was the kill shot. The other three shots, he would have survived, the medical examiner testified, or likely survived.
Right.
So what they're saying is that, yes, he got shot in the back, but once he was shot and started falling, it all happened very quickly.
I think the video supports that. What is the status of the mistrial?
So the judge didn't address it today. He said he would address it down the road. I mean, it would be extraordinary if there was a mistrial, especially a mistrial with prejudice the defense wants, which means Rittenhouse couldn't be tried again. The judge has said repeatedly and maybe a little bit naively that he wants this case to be what restores America's faith in the justice system.
He did say that. Yeah.
And so I don't think he's going to declare a mistrial amid this effort to build confidence in the justice system.
Well, our news click, and this isn't for you, but our daily web poll question today is asking people how fairly do they think it's going. And almost half of my listeners that have responded, non-scientific survey, mind you, but almost half of them have said that they feel like it's the prosecution that is making this trial unfair by violating too many of the rules of procedure in a courtroom. Does that surprise you?
No, because everybody was watching yesterday, right? When the judge accused the prosecution of infringing on Rittenhouse's rights and ignoring a pretrial order, not to mention a previous act that Rittenhouse committed. So that doesn't surprise me. The judge berated the prosecution for being unfair on national television.
Well, but another way to look at it, if you will, is that the judge is the one who's heavy-handed there. A little while ago, I talked about how the judge did not want the state to expand a video on an iPad. He said that's manipulating
right.
The image, and I think that's an absurd notion. I know it adds a little more light. We've all done it a million times. Whatever's happening there doesn't change the image. It gives you a better view of the image, and the judge wasn't going to allow that.
I have heard from so many Apple users and technology enthusiasts in the past 12 hours about this. The iPad does not use artificial intelligence, as the defense suggested, and there's no logarithm involved in manipulating the image. We've all done it, and there is no, it fills in some pixels, but it wasn't what the defense or the judge sort of.
So the judge's suggested. Resolution to that is, he said, well, listen, because the one guy says it does this, and the other guy says it does that, and the judge throws up his hands and says, look, we're not experts, we don't know. And then the state says, well, then if the defense wants to get an expert and say that it's inappropriate to expand the image, they can. And the judge said, no, if you want to pinch the image or expand it, it's up to you to provide an expert witness to say that that won't manipulate the data too much. And I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. So now we got to have another guy from Apple on the stand, and he's going to give us some long technical thing about how it works, and then we're going to say, okay, it's okay to do something everybody does every day. That's absurd, and I think that shows where the judge is leaning on this case.
Well, I think, you know, the judge, that's sort of one of the, like, kind of foundation evidence and foundation testimony that sort of bogged down trials. And we haven't seen a lot of that because they've agreed to so much, right, that so much of the evidence that has been entered. So we haven't seen a lot of that process. And I think that was a minor process point they probably should have worked out before the trial.
I was a little surprised to read in the Tribune you and Christy Gutowski's piece where you wrote that the emotional breakdown that Kyle had on the stand left many of the jurors looking at him in apparent sympathy as he continued to cry. Are you worried that that's a subjective statement on your part? Were they really looking at him sympathetically? And that must be a tell then about how they're feeling the case is going.
I'm not worried that it's subjective. I mean, my observations, I guess, by their very nature, are subjective. We did talk to other reporters in the courtroom, including the Associated Press reporter, who is the pool reporter, which means his notes get shared with everyone, so we can see what sort of the observations are. And, you know, he was in agreement that you have to, the jurors, the way the courtroom is set up, has to walk by, they have to walk by the witness stand to get out of the courtroom. So they all had a pass right next to Kyle Rittenhouse as they walked out. And I think there's a sympathetic look, and there's a look of disgust, and there's no look. And I think they definitely gave sympathetic looks.
Yeah, well, fair enough. I appreciate your reporting on that. I thought that Kyle would be towards the end of the trial, but it's still going on. How much longer is this going to go?
So it's funny you should say that. The judge said yesterday that we would have closing arguments on Monday. He got on the bench this morning and said he thought yesterday was actually Thursday.
Oh, no.
So
really?
Maybe not having closing arguments on Monday, but that things could wrap up tomorrow. So it'll be interesting to see.
Well, maybe he should get out his magnifying glass and look at his calendar and see what the date is.
You're not going to get over the iPad thing, are you?
That really ticked me off, and you're right. It's just a little procedural thing. Okay, and you said that the judge will eventually decide on whether or not there's going to be a mistrial. The trial's continuing. He'd better hurry up and decide. Today, he may not know this, is Thursday. So if this is going to wrap up tomorrow, when do we get the word?
He didn't address it today, so I don't know if he's just going to let it die and maybe, the verdict itself just takes care of the issue. At some point, he will have to address it. He could also address it if there is a conviction, he could address it post-conviction.
We'll talk more later in the show. Stacy St. Clair, the Tribune reporter, is in Kenosha this morning. Thanks for your time today, Stacy.
Thanks, John.
I know some of you think those tears looked faked or coached. I thought they looked real.